Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
If you have been following the Beacon Broadcast over the last several days, you will know several things. You will know, no doubt, that we are in the third epistle of John, the shortest book in all of the Bible. And you will probably know that we have come to a section that tells us why Christians ought to support biblical missionaries. And I am offering you five reasons why that is the case, and they're all found right here in this passage, in 3 John verses 7 and 8 primarily, though you have to have the verses that go before if you're going to get it all understood properly in its context. But there are a number of compelling reasons why you, if you are a Christian, ought to be supporting biblical missionaries. Are you doing that? You ought to. And you need to listen to the reasons why you ought to do that. And three of them we've already covered, and I'll just quickly name them. Why should God's people support biblical missionaries? Number one, because of the personal sacrifices which they make. Number two, because they represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And number three, because the world does not support them. They go forth taking nothing from the Gentiles. And that's where we left off yesterday. And we'll pick up a couple of other thoughts on that third reason before we move on to reason number four on the broadcast today. And so, you have joined us on this Tuesday, July 23. Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast, and many, many thanks to those whose financial gifts make it possible for us to teach God's Word on this station. Well, that's interesting phrase in verse 7. Where John is listing some of the reasons why he wants Gaius to support biblical missionaries, and of course, by extension, all of God's people should do the same. And so he said in verse 6, "Please send them, these traveling missionaries, forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, because," verse 7, and here is where he begins to list the reasons, "because they went forth," that yes, they did, they left their home and comforts behind and went forth to this itinerant work that in some cases could be very dangerous, and they've made some real personal sacrifices. They went forth. That's reason number one. They went forth for his name's sake. That's reason number two. They didn't go forth to represent themselves, to bring honor to themselves, but they went forth to bring honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're serving him, and therefore God's people ought to support them in this work. But then this last thing in verse 7, they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. And that means taking nothing from the world. As John is using the word Gentile here, he's using it as the opposite of a Christian, a follower of Christ. Christians are the true spiritual seed of Abraham. They are true spiritual Israel, and therefore those who are not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are Gentiles. They are the unconverted of this world, and they're not going to support gospel workers. Of course not. The unconverted have little or no interest in the gospel and certainly no desire to propagate it, to help others propagate it. They have no interest, they have no obligation, they in many cases, don't want to be inconvenienced by having missionaries coming to them. That, in most cases, they don't, unless the Holy Spirit prepares their hearts to listen and to receive the word of the gospel, which, of course, the Holy Spirit wonderfully does on many occasions. But otherwise, they're not going to want these people coming and pestering them, so they certainly aren't going to help them financially to do that, because that's what these people are doing. They're coming to the Gentiles, that is, to the unconverted, in order to bring them the gospel. But as we saw in the broadcast yesterday, missionaries not only do not take financial support from the world, but they should not take financial support from the world. It's not appropriate. Soliciting financial support from the world is a hindrance to the gospel. The gospel should come without charge to those who are unconverted. They have no obligation to support it, and when you try to get them to, you often, almost always, erect barriers to the gospel, and that's not what you're trying to do. And so, what I'm suggesting is, I'm going to make a modern-day application to this, I don't think it's appropriate to try to support God's work by having community bake sales or garage sales or other community endeavors to raise support from the general community, from the world around us. Now, in some cases, of course, some of the people in the community are going to be Christians, but that's not appropriate. We are, as Christians and as Christian workers, we are to receive financial support and appeal for financial support to people that we know to be believers, people that we know are involved in their churches, and people who have an understanding that they do have an obligation to support gospel workers. Those are the ones that we raise money from. They are the ones who have a heart to give, a desire to give, a love for giving, and we don't want to leave this out, an obligation to do so. So yes, it's appropriate to do that. When I thank those who support the Beacon broadcast, I am directing those comments toward those who are born-again Bible believers, because I know that most of the people who listen to this broadcast fall into that category. How do I know that? Well, for a couple of reasons. Number one, because I've been doing this for more than 40 years, and I've learned by experience that that is the case. Occasionally, God the Holy Spirit will direct unbelievers to listen, and we have had reports over the years, a few, and I'd love to hear many more, but we have had reports over the years of people who have been converted, have been saved, have been brought to Christ through this ministry, because obviously God the Holy Spirit directed them to listen and gave them a desire to, and I could stop and give you some of those stories now, but I'm not going to do that. But they are wonderful and they are encouraging. So yes, when the Holy Spirit is at work in a heart, changing their appetites and desires and giving them an interest in the Word of God, of course unbelievers will be listening to the broadcast. But by that point, they are usually very close to becoming believers. The Holy Spirit's already at work. But I would say 99% of those who are listening to this broadcast are already Christians, because this is a Bible teaching ministry. And the Bible tells us the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually understood. And people who don't have a regenerated heart, don't have an appetite for the Word of God, this doesn't interest them. So, I'm talking, for the most part, to Christians. Now, I don't want, in making that statement, to give in all of you the assurance that you are a child of God, when it's very likely that there are some listening who are not yet saved. And I pray that you shall be. But most of you listening to this broadcast are Christians, and therefore I make no apology in encouraging you to give to the support of this ministry. And I know you won't unless you have a heart for it. It's wonderful. We have some support. I wish we had more. The costs of this broadcast are borne. Well, it's about about half of the cost come from our church budget, and then about half, the other half, comes from donations that we receive from radio listeners. And at this time, our church is pretty well maxed out in how much it's able to do. So any expansion of this ministry is going to depend upon additional support from our radio listeners. And it's always encouraging. And God sends it in unexpected ways sometimes. We have some supporters who are regular, give every month. And some of you who are listening to this broadcast no doubt fit into that category. And you know who you are, and I thank God for you. But then we receive those occasional gifts that seem to come out of nowhere. Sometimes we'll receive an occasional gift that did come out of nowhere, and then a few months later we might receive a second gift from the same source, and now it's not out of nowhere. We've received help from that source before, and though it doesn't come every month, doesn't come regularly like it does from some people, it does come, and God does supply our needs, and we continue teaching God's Word on these stations as long as God supplies the need, and we continue to add stations as long as God makes additional funds available, or maybe I should say when God makes additional funds available. But we are not endeavoring to raise money for the work of God from the unconverted, from Gentiles. We don't do that. We don't do that as a church. I don't do that on the Beacon broadcast. I simply remind listeners that we can only continue this ministry by the support of, and what do we say, God's people. That's where it's got to come from. It doesn't come from the Gentiles. And so that's the third reason why God's people ought to support biblical missionaries, is because if we don't, they can't carry out their ministry. That's the only appropriate place where their support can come from. Now, it's not necessary that every gospel missionary be fully supported by contributions from God's people. There are other ways, and I know some missionaries who basically are tent makers, like the Apostle Paul was at times, and they support themselves. In fact, there are some countries where that's virtually the only way you can get in. They don't admit people as missionaries, but they will admit people to come in and teach English or do other things that they value, and so they'll let people come in and do that. And so some Christians will find an entrance into that country in that way and will support themselves, but obviously the ones who are doing that are also extremely limited in how much of their time they can devote to gospel work. If you've got a job that demands 40, 50 or more hours a week, you can help. Of course you can, just like most of my church members, the members of our church, are working 40 or 50 hour jobs a week. I talked to one of our deacons the other day who told me he works about 65 hours a week. And yet he's very involved in the work of the Lord in our church. And I don't have time to tell you all the ways, but he's a wonderful encouragement and very, very busy in the Lord's work. But not as busy as I am. I mean, in some ways he's busier because of what he's doing. He's doing a double load here, so to speak. He's supporting himself and his family and carrying out a significant ministry, overseeing a significant ministry in our church. But he's hindered in how much he can do, and that's appropriate. Nothing wrong with that. That's entirely appropriate. But God's people need to support biblical missionaries. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.